Every generation invents its own slang, has ways of communicating. But is social media, here's a question for you, is social media making those differences between age groups even greater? Gen Z, those born between 1997 and 2012, they are creating what some people would think was almost an entirely different way of communicating. So so-called TikTok language is even spreading into the mainstream, with goblin mode being chosen as the word of the year by the Oxford Dictionary last year. And Tony Thorne is a linguistics expert who specialises in slang. He's at King's College in London and he joins me now. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hiya. Hey, so goblin mode, we did hear that definition when it came out, but what is it again? When you go into goblin mode?
Yeah, well, goblin mode's become one of the best known of these new terms, because the Oxford Dictionary adopted it as word of the year, but it's still a word that most people over the age of 30 probably have never come across. And it means basically being a slob. It's the idea of coming out of lockdown and pandemic and everything, and refusing to go back to being smart and punctual and well-behaved. So it's kind of remaining, being slovenly and lazy and scruffy. So it's a fashion statement and an attitude, as well as a silly phrase.
That's two words really though, isn't it?
Yeah. This is the dictionaries do this. They adopt a word of the year, which is in fact two words or an emoji, just to provoke people, so that people can say, "Oh, that's ridiculous."
Okay, so it's a pretty obvious question, but why do we have these linguistic and communication differences between generations? Is it to set us apart?
Yeah, I think that each generation, I mean, I'm a baby boomer, I'm very old, but in my generation, we were hippies, and we put together, if you like, we didn't invent it, but we put together a whole vocabulary of saying things were far out and too much and heavy, man, and things like that, to differentiate ourselves from an earlier generation who we didn't get on very well with. So that it does reinforce a generation gap. But slang also makes the people who use it feel like insiders. It gives them a kind of cool identity. And this happens in every generation. It happened with millennials, and now it's happening with Generation Z, or Gen Z, if you want to be cool, use the American term.
Right. I'll stick with the Z. We quite like that here. But it seems to happen naturally, really. It's not something that's forced. It's just something that happens within your own age group, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I've spent a long time, you know, writing about slang, publishing dictionaries about slang, and teaching about it. And I've always tried to convince people that slang is an entirely natural aspect of language. It seems to happen in every language in every generation. And slang itself is not a deficient kind of language at all. It's actually quite sophisticated. The way it uses the possibilities of English, for example, the way it uses images and metaphors and bending and reshaping language, it's quite a sophisticated sort of language. So I don't think we should dismiss it. But of course, it makes people feel uncomfortable, especially older people who just can't understand what their children or their young friends are saying. And this naturally makes people feel a bit destabilized, a bit uncomfortable.
Slang's been around for so long, though, hasn't it? I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years. It's not new.
Oh, the first slang dictionaries, they weren't dictionaries in those days, but the first sort of collections of slang terms in Europe were probably in Germany, collected in the 14th, 15th century, the language of beggars and thieves and ne'er-do-wells. And in England, the first slang glossaries were put together in the 16th and 17th centuries. So, you know, it's been going on, we think, as long as language has been used, really.
They're wonderful books to read, aren't they? I mean, the sort of coffee table books you can just sit and browse through, and you learn so much from them.
Well, very. It is, by definition, slang, however you define it. It's a colorful, exotic form of language, and that's the whole point. It has to be different from standard, boring, day-to-day routine language. In order to have its force, it must appear to be interesting and edgy, and of course, above all, novel. It's all about novelty.
Yes. So, all right. So, Gen Z, Generation Z. if we're talking about TikTok, Instagram, technology generally, what are some of the things that we might, as an older generation, need to know? We're listening to
Well,
Gen Z.
I think it's suddenly, because as I say, every generation has their own new language. It's natural, but it's suddenly become a lot more complicated because Gen Z or Gen Z, they are talking to each other and creating new words and new concepts and new attitudes in places where most older people just don't go. The Gen Z doesn't like Twitter and Facebook very much. They think it's for old people, and they have a healthy disrespect for anyone older. So they go to WhatsApp, Instagram, and more, YouTube, of course. They like these new platforms which have a visual element as well as a verbal element, and they like what linguists call multimodality, and that's just a fancy word for mixing up music, sound, and written words and visual words all together. So they're using different technology from earlier generations. And TikTok in particular is a very strange place with its own kind of customs, its own visuals, its own kind of jokes and spoofs. And it's very difficult for outsiders to really grasp what's going on. And of course, most outsiders, most older people just don't go there because they don't see TikTok as a platform for them. So when you do go there, what you see or hear is often baffling.
Right. And I guess, as you get older, why would you be wanting to go onto TikTok anyway? You've got other things to do.
Well, can I say, it may seem absurd, and it probably is absurd, that somebody as old as I am is posing as an authority on Gen Z. But the reason I have to do this, whether I like it or not, I've got teenage children, so I suppose I am in some kind of connection. But it's because most teachers, most linguists, most academics just are not interested. I think we should be interested. I think it is interesting what younger people, people in their, this is teenagers and people in their early 20s, really. What they're thinking, what they're feeling, what they're doing, I think is interesting. It's a lot of people dismiss it. Oh, they're going through a phase. It's trivial. It's ephemeral. It's just fashionable nonsense. But I think some of the things they're doing are actually interesting, and there's some of the concepts that they're talking about at the moment. They're talking about quiet quitting. Quiet quitting is when you discreetly give up on kind of capitalist ambition, and at the same time, you give up on that kind of YouTube influencer self-promotion and try and go beyond it, maybe even towards something more spiritual, more. So, they are talking about things which may be serious.
It's the evolution, not just of the language, but of humanity, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But a lot of it is still, a lot of it is, if I'm not contradicting myself, a lot of it is frivolous deliberately. A lot of it's funny. One of the things that Gen Z does is they constantly invent new, what they call vibes, or they also call them aesthetics. And they talk about vibe shifts. And what these are fads and fashions and looks. And that's what goblin mode was. It was just a briefly fashionable kind of attitude. And they have these attitudes and vibes and aesthetics that come up every week and then change. So, one week it's Barbie core. You've all got to look like Ken and Barbie and wear pink. Next week it's cottage core, where you dress like a sort of Midwest farmer's wife, which is also called auntie core. And all these caws are kind of, they're joke attitudes. And again, it's difficult to know when they mean something serious or when they're just a sort of funny spoof, just to amuse, and a kind of an in-joke, always an in-joke.
Yeah, true. But I mean, something like cottagecore, isn't that, it's like about 3 or 4 years old, isn't it? They must be onto something better than that.
Oh well, no. You're quite right. I mean, it's very hard. I have to try and keep up with this, and it's absolutely impossible. But I can tell you and your listeners, and I think you'll be ahead of the curve here. The latest fad is actually called corecore.
Oh,
and
core.
Okay. I think this might be the last one, because corecore is absolutely baffling. Nobody knows what it is. It's just a kind of jumble of visuals and silly words. And nobody, even the people who invented it, admit they don't know what it is. So this could be some kind of endpoint. But if you want to be cool, anywhere on the globe, just say that you're familiar with corecore.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't be familiar with it because I don't know what you mean.
Well, as I say, this is beyond all the other fads. This is a
right.
fad that even the originators don't actually know what it means.
Oh, there's a lot of humour involved in it, though, that I love. I actually think the whole thing is great. I really love to know, you know, things like, why would you ever leave a voicemail? Why would you ever even answer your emails, for example? So many of that age group that I know personally don't even look at their emails, and in terms of texts, it's very difficult to get them to text back, that kind of thing. But I like that. I think it's great. I wouldn't do it myself, but I like to see that evolution.
Well, be careful, because one of the things that Gen Z seem to feel very strongly about is that the way older generations use emoji, for example, the way in which older people, we, if I can say that, use punctuation.
Yes, no
and
full stops,
even
please.
oh, no, full stops are passive aggressive, and exclamation marks are really embarrassing. And you know, you mustn't, but they go further. It's not, even gestures, you mustn't put your finger in front of your mouth to say, shh, be quiet. That's really outdated. You mustn't give double thumbs up or punch the air, you know, with a fist pump. This is really cringe, which is the word they use. You know, it's horribly outdated. So we all need to update ourselves.
Well, we can cringe them, Tony. We can just do that and just really call them out.
I do this to my children. I sometimes I use some of their language and I shout, "Oh wow, CEO." CEO is the new way of saying boss, which means that's fantastic, well, that's great. Or I shout wig. Wig is drag queen slang for something so amazing that it blows your wig off. And of course, my children just cower and cringe, and they hate me for it.
They'll love you for it as they get older.
I hope so.
Wonderful. So much to learn. Thanks so much, Tony. Really good to talk to you. And anything else? Any other besides corecore?
Oh, well, you might want to embrace blokecore is good.
Blokecore
just means that men can just dress like a bloke, and it's really hip and fashionable. But I think that's already passed, that one.
Look, Tony, so is the word hook.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm worse than your children. Okay. Been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A linguistics expert, Tony Thorne. And that's fascinating, isn't it? There's so much more we could learn. He specialises in slang at King's College in London.